Our scripture reading is from the New Testament, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Here ends our scripture reading. May God's presence sustain us and help us to understand the message for us today. Dear friends, you can look at Jesus' immortal story of the benevolent Samaritan from many different perspectives. It's a story about the power of love. A love that changed everything and crossed every human boundary. It took place in an ancient society at a time when it was natural for Samaritans and Jews to hate each other. Now, there is the Peanuts cartoon in which infatuated admirer Lucy, as she so often did, interrupted Schroeder, a piano-loving intellectual. So Lucy asked Schroeder, "Schroeder, do you know what love really is?" So Schroeder abruptly stopped his playing, stood to his feet, and said precisely, "Love is a noun, to be fond of, a strong affection for or an attachment or devotion to a person or persons." And then he immediately sat back again and resumed playing his piano. And Lucy sat there stunned, and then she murmured sarcastically, "On paper, he sounds great." At another time, Lucy saw Snoopy shivering out in a snowstorm beside an empty food dish. He was looking longingly, expectingly toward the house. And then Lucy came out and said, "Go in peace. Be warmed and filled." And then she turned and went back into the house and slammed the door. And then in the last frame, you see a confused Snoopy looking toward the house, shivering, still hungry, and utterly baffled. "Go in peace," she said. "Be warmed and filled." He could not. He was still cold. If ever there was a story in the Bible that needs little explanation, then it is this one about the Good Samaritan. We've all heard it several times. And I've never heard of anyone disagreeing with the conclusion. Of course we are. There's no doubt about it. We are good Christian people. And our hearts are open for those in need. Is it not true? I know it is. I've seen it throughout my career. When the tsunami strikes, when natural disasters occur, when war and famine devastates the lives of many, then you and I, as Christians, are at our most efficient. Our hearts tend to open wide, and our pocketbooks as wide as we can afford. And we refuse, and we do not have to take a back seat to anyone. However, dear friend, we can never ever use the story of the Good Samaritan as an illustration of how righteous, how kind, and how generous we are. This one is a different story. You see, the background is that this story really deals with a lawyer who had a sinister motive. He wanted to test Jesus. And he was not just any old lawyer. This one really knew and understood the law. Not only the laws of the country, but specifically the laws of the old church of those days. And so this was all really a trap. He wanted to lure Jesus into a minefield of a discussion, hoping to see if he could get Jesus to say something that would break the strict laws that governed the lives of the faithful Jewish believers of that time. So, who is the neighbor? Who is my neighbor? This was really the key question. And so much depended on the response that Jesus would give. But Jesus responded with a story that would not only adhere to the laws of his time, but also would go far deeper than the law and set new standards for behavior for generations still to come. This lawyer had to understand that there was only one way to overcome the danger of loving only ourselves. George MacDonald, who lived 150 years ago, often spoke of the dungeon of self, getting captured as if in a dungeon myself. And he said that most people are trapped in that dungeon of, let us say, self-love. And then he went on saying, the love of our neighbor, the love of our neighbor is the only door out of the dungeon of self. The only time to look down on your neighbor. And there is a time when you should look down on your neighbor, and that is when you are bending down to help your neighbor. And then he concluded, we are not the better for our Christianity as long as our neighbor is the worse for it. We are not the better for our Christianity as long as our neighbor is the worse for it. So there were really three philosophies of life at play in this story of Jesus. We could say that the robber's philosophy was, what you have is mine, and I'm going to take it. The priest and the Levite had the philosophy that what is mine will stay mine and I will keep it. The Samaritan's philosophy was, what is mine is yours and I will share it. During the past week, we were having a meeting here in the boardroom of our church, and it so happened that we spoke about today and what the sermon would be all about. And we were talking about this very truth when Carl Witlicki mentioned in our discussion and recalled a saying of Martin Luther King in this regard. And I said, Carl, I'm not going to remember it as I usually do, but please send me an email. And he did, to get the correct wording. Martin Luther King said, the first question of the priest and the Levite was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? However, the Good Samaritan reversed the question. If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? So Jesus approved the Samaritan's philosophy and said, go and do likewise. There's another cartoon that might be helpful to understand better. Yes, friends, indeed. Many of these cartoons we can live without, but there are some of them that just succeed to portray certain truths that cannot be said in better way. This has to do with Garfield seated in a comfortable chair, and then he sees his friend Odie at the window peering in eagerly. And Garfield says to himself, poor Odie, locked outside in the cold. Oh, I just cannot bear to see him like this. I got to do something. And then at this point, Garfield gets up from his chair and closes the curtains. On the other hand, the famous scientist Louis Pasteur was far more frightened of dogs than most people are. Even a distant bark would terrify him. And this is how it came about. While he was a child, a wild wolf with rabies raged through his boyhood village and brought agony and death to many of his neighbors and friends. And often in his later life, he used to refer to this horrible incident that took place when he was a kid. And he used to say, I've always been haunted by the cries of those victims that terrible day. Against that backdrop, in 1882, when he was past the age of 60, Pasteur conducted an intense search for a cure of rabies. And for 3 long years, in spite of his deep-seated fears, he risked his life working with mad dogs. And at last, he came through with a vaccine to cure the victims of rabies. It was a July night in 1886 when he tried the first injection on a little boy whose life seemed doomed. And that little boy lived. The first in recorded history. The remembered agony of his neighbors long ago spurred Louis Pasteur to find a cure for this dreaded disease. And here we have it. Louis Pasteur sought a cure. Garfield closed the curtains. That's it. The simplest formula for the good life ever given came from the lips of Jesus himself. love God above all else and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God above all else and love your neighbor as yourself. So the power is yours and mine for the taking. We can only be as God intended us to be when we begin to identify with the person who is lying bruised and beaten beside the road. And then we also discover that Christ indeed is our Samaritan, binding up our broken hearts and our broken lives. Why have Christians been historically so charitable, so caring? Is it not because we realize that once we were lying beside the road, once we were broken and bleeding, and in the darkest of our night, nail-scarred hands reached down to us and minister to us in our need? Events like those changed my childhood, changed my early life, and is still changing it from day to day. So often when you see the pain, the hurt, and the needy, then you are reminded, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Could that be the reason why we are still open to a message like this, coming from the lips of Jesus centuries ago? Besides, we found that such a concern for others is not only a duty, but it becomes the source of unlimited joy. It's always nice to receive a gift, but oh, it feels so much better when you are the giver of that gift. Now, I do not know who wrote these words, but they say so much. If you were busy being kind, before you knew it, you would find you'd soon forget to think 'twas true that someone was unkind to you. If you were busy being glad and cheering people who were sad, although your heart might ache a bit, you'd soon forget to notice it. If you were busy being true to what you know you ought to do, you'd be so busy you'd forget the blunders of the folds you've met. Long ago, I saw a little plaque, wrote it down, and I carry it with me, my personal Bible. I expect to pass through this world but once. Any good thing, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to my fellow creatures, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. Who is your neighbor? Do you want to identify your neighbor today? Look around you. See who's needing you most, no matter who, what, race, creed, sexuality, no matter what. Your neighbor is the person who needs you most today. After all, it was the Apostle Paul who said, if I do not have love, then I gain nothing. Without love, you and I, no matter what we do, we will remain nothing. Jesus put it like this: do this, and you will live. Amen.